today on Rocking the Suburbs.
This album is more than a way of life. It is a life. Hey, everybody. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. We're going to get to today's topic in just a minute, but first I want to tell you that an update to the May 2026 new music submissions. The deadline has been set now at June 16th. That's a Tuesday, June 16th. So, if you're listening to this episode on the day it's released, June 10th, that's 6 days from now. And if you need to give yourself a little extended deadline, go ahead and do that. But let's aim for June 16th if we can for you to submit your picks to May 2026 New Music. Now, we've already got some in, and I really appreciate those people who have gotten those picks in already. Thank you very, very much. And we will be starting off with Jim Linehan's picks, which will kick us off next week. So be ready for those. Today's episode, I want to briefly relate to you the story of a record. And good friend of the show and friend of mine, I am proud to say, Bud Verge, whose voice you've heard on this podcast before, has an online record-selling concern entitled On the Verge Records. And Bud is often taking in large numbers of records and sending them back out. Of course, that's the way it works. But he also occasionally comes across records that, for whatever reason, go in a special box to dedicate to the Rockin' the Suburbs record library that I have here in my basement. And I greatly, greatly appreciate it. I get a wonderful kick out of these records. Oftentimes, international records or world music that I quite enjoy that Bud will come across and slide my way. And he recently donated a box to me, and I was super grateful for that. And inside of it was a record that I hadn't ever actually seen before in person, but now I have a copy for my collection, and I'm really thrilled about it, and I want to tell you about it. It's a record by a band called the Masked Marauders, and it was released on the Deity label. And I think the Deity label was a subsidiary of Repi's Records. But how the Masked Marauders came about is an interesting story. In the late 1960s, of course, Rolling Stone magazine was a authority for the counterculture and the music world. And it was also an era where there were a lot of sort of supergroups going on. You know, Blind Faith could be one example, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, things like that. It was an era. And a couple of writers at Rolling Stone magazine, I think chiefly the idea of Greil Marcus, who may have been the record reviews editor at the time, or something along those lines, decided that they're going to write a review sending up this whole trend, and people are going to get a big kick out of it. So they decided to review a record that didn't exist, and it was by a band called the Masked Marauders. Now, the review was printed in Rolling Stone magazine in the fall of 1969, October 18th, 1969, to be specific about that. And I want to read to you a little bit of the review now. I'll just do some excerpts, but here are the first two paragraphs, and then I'll add a couple in later. Quote, "They began months ago, the rumors of an event that at first seemed hardly believable, but which in the end was accepted as all but inevitable. After all, with Grape Jam, Super Session, The Live Adventures, Blind Faith, Joe Cocker, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Jam Together, and Father and Sons, it had to happen. Set for release later this month, the Masked Marauders 2-record set may evoke an agonizing tip of the tongue, lobe of the ear recognition in some, or cries of, no, no, it can't be true in others. But yes, yes it is. A treasured, oft Xerox sheet of credits, for which obvious contractual reasons will not be reproduced on the album, and the unmistakable vocals make it clear that this is indeed what it appears to be. John Lennon, Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney, and Bob Dylan, backed by George Harrison and a drummer as yet unnamed, as the Masked Marauders. The LP opens with an 18-minute version of Season of the Witch, lead vocal by Dylan, in which he does a superb imitation of early Donovan. The cut is highlighted by an amazing jam between bass and piano, both played by Paul McCartney. Then, the tone of the album is set by the next track, With a Little Help from My Friends, followed by a very brief In the Midnight Hour, which collapses in giggles and is the joke of the set. Dylan shines on side three, displaying his new deep bass voice, with Duke of Earl, Jagger with the Book of Love, and John, of course, with I'm the Japanese Sandman. Paul showcases his favorite song, Mammy. And while his performance is virtually indistinguishable from Eddie Fisher's version, it is still very powerful, evocative, and indeed stunning. And they say a white boy can't sing the blues. And the review closes like this. All the hassles of creating a special label, of rearranging schedules, chartering planes, minimizing the inevitable ego conflicts were all worth it. It can truly be said that this album is more than a way of life. It is a life. And the review was credited to one T.M. Christian. Now, despite the fact that there are some obvious jokes in this review, including produced by Al Kooper, the album was recorded with impeccable secrecy in a small town near the site of the original Hudson Bay Colony in Canada, along with some other things in the review. It's pretty funny. And everybody at Rolling Stone was sure that, you know, this will be a great joke and everybody will you know, think this is really funny and really clever. However, what happened was a little bit different. People started sending in letters asking when the album was going to come out. Where could they get it? And they also got letters from managers and record labels wondering, you know, what label is this coming out on? Is there any way to sign this Masked Marauders group? And the interest just kept building and building. So instead of being a send-up, it actually turned into this real thing. And so what happened was Greil Marcus and Langdon Winner, another writer at Rolling Stone magazine, got together and hired a band and wrote some songs, and they recorded three of them. One of the songs mentioned on the album is a song with Mick Jagger, a takeoff on I Can't Get No Satisfaction called I Can't Get No Nookie, and then Bob Dylan doing Dukes of Earl. And they sent these tapes around to some radio stations in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and they played these songs and kind of furthered the rumor. And then they decided that they were going to get a band and record this whole record. And that's what they did. They got together with a group that played around in the LA San Francisco area and took them into the studio and recorded a whole track. A whole album, I should say, with the following song. Side one, I Can't Get No Nookie, featuring vocals by a Mick Jagger impersonator. Duke of Earl, featuring a Dylan sound-alike. An instrumental called Cow Pie. I Am the Japanese Sandman and the Book of Love. And you hear a John Lennon impersonator singing and talking at the end of that track. The aforementioned Season of the Witch. Saturday Night at the Cow Palace is the closing track on the record, and it's basically somebody in a record store claiming to the record clerk that this album is a total ripoff and it's not what they say it is, et cetera, et cetera. The record went out and it sold enough for it to get into the top 100 on Billboard's charts, and crazy thing to top it all off, the cover of the album features Sharon Tate from a photo shoot she did in 1967. And it was originally to promote a movie she was in called The Fearless Vampire Killers. And the photo was replicated and put on the cover of this record. So also having her on there was a, you know, probably a send up signal. Now, when it comes to the album itself, let's just say that the legend is more interesting than the actual music, in my opinion. I noticed here it has one star on All Music, which is the only review that I could find. And I, having said all that, having told the story, I am very happy to have this record in my collection because I feel like it is a important piece of rock and roll history, and I'm glad to add it to my collection. So I want to thank Bud Verge, and I wanted to tell everybody the story of the Masked Marauders, if you didn't know it already. I knew of the legend, but I'd never seen the record or heard it, and now I have it, and it's great. So I hope you... enjoy the story of the Masked Marauders. If anybody wants me to make a tape of it for them, just send me a blank TDK cassette in a self-addressed stamped envelope, care of Rock in the Suburbs, and we will get that taken care of. All right, folks, with that tale of the Masked Marauders out of the way, we will send you out for today. And tomorrow we're going to have a two-part interview beginning with a filmmaker who has made a documentary on the life of Jason Molina. So look forward to that very, very much. Myself and Scott Parks doing the chatting. All right. With that, here's the Masked Marauders, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Up the Tugabird, and you are my girl, and nothing can hurt you. Oh no, yes, and I, oh, I'm gonna love you. Oh, oh, come on and let me hold you, darling, 'cause I'm the Tugabird. My Duchess of Earth will walk through my dukedom, and a paradise we will share. Yes, I, oh, I'm gonna love you. Oh, oh, nothing can stop me now, 'cause I'm her together.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Rock in the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Lanaham, I am here with you.